God of color, thank you for the journey and for the questions. We're ready, Spirit of Truth, to be led by Christ where we need to go. Amen. The inspiration for my sermon title this morning comes from two places. The first is an ancient Christian book from the year 400 by St. Augustine, written in Latin, entitled De Trinitate, translated as Concerning the Trinity. I'll come back to Augustine in just a bit. The inspiration for the second part of the title comes from an article in last week's Atlantic Magazine. The title of the article is a mouthful. Fancy Starbucks drinks and the special snowflakes who ordered them, with this subtitle, Food Customization is More Than a Craze in America, It's a Reflection of Identity. Here's how the article begins. It's been said that there are 87,000 ways to order a drink at Starbucks. You've got your non-fat milk, full-fat milk, soy milk, and coconut milk, espresso shots, all the different flavored syrups, some of which are sugar-free, whipped cream, iced hot, or extra hot if you've got a Kevlar tongue, different sizes, different roasts of coffee, and on and on. Surely some of those combinations seem gross. Venti green tea latte with peppermint and whipped cream, anyone? But you can have it if you want it. We Americans like our choices, continues the article. Every potato chip, yogurt, and Clif Bar has a gazillion flavors. Americans have no problem going to any restaurant and asking for a dish without such and such ingredient with this on the side and light on the dressing, why don't you? When Americans fiddle with recipes, we don't feel we're insulting anyone. We feel we're getting our money's worth, says the article. People can personalize their order at Starbucks or wherever else, and they can also purchase whatever weirdly precise flavor of chips they prefer. For example, barbecue, honey barbecue, sweet southern heat barbecue, hot and spicy barbecue, and mesquite barbecue are all available from Lay's potato chips. And once you've customized your Goldilocks Starbucks order, the one that's just right, you may just stick with it and make it your usual. It becomes, to some small degree, a marker of your identity, like the clothes you wear or the TV shows you choose to watch. And the more options there are, the more identities for sale. Each time you order, you're reaffirming your identity, says one food researcher. And the article concludes, the U.S. is a nation of snackers and restaurant goers and delivery orderers, as well as a nation of individualists, many of whom have some hang-ups about food. And so food companies bend over backwards to give you 5 different kinds of beans to put in your burrito, or they'll make Maui onion-flavored potato chips. But the irony is that the most guaranteed way to really customize and personalize your food is to make it yourself. Today is Trinity Sunday on the church calendar. And as the name implies, it's the day we celebrate a centuries-old tradition in Christianity of referring to God as triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God in three persons, as the old hymn goes, Blessed Trinity. It's the day we celebrate the Starbucks-style diversity of God. This morning's bulletin uses a colorful array of Trinity-inspired names, Creator, Christ, and Spirit, Love, love incarnate, and love in action. We mentioned the triune puzzle in our opening prayer and referred to God as mother, liberator, and friend, and also rock, savior, and dove, and then as artist, pioneer, and wind. Each string of threes is a riff on the theme of God's diversity, diversity which is found in the Bible itself. Depending on how you count, there could be as few as several dozen names of God in the Bible, all the way up to several hundred. One website, ChristianAnswers.net, lists 930 names of God in Scripture. Someone clearly had a lot of time on their hands compiling that list. For 18 centuries, Christians have been calling God a Trinity. Tertullian, around the year 200, was arguably the first Christian writer to use the word Trinitas when writing about God. Augustine wrote De Trinitate in the year 400, and throngs of others have weighed in on God as Trinity through the ages. But I think it's a bit ironic to celebrate such a deep tradition in a UCC church, Because, tradition or no tradition, we tend to do things our own way. Starbucks style, mishmashing and blending 87,000 or so different ideas about God. I've been keeping track of our church's theological diversity as I've talked theology with many of you over the past few months. There are Trinitarians in our midst, but there are also Unitarians. Several of you have told me you're agnostic or even just plain Gnostic. A few of you are atheists. Some are non-theists. Some are here from different religious traditions, and many of you prefer to leave questions about God up to God. One of you even told me that you take God seriously, but not literally. I got permission to use that quote. I appreciate the diversity. It's one of the things I love most about this church. I love that our presence here, our membership here, is not based on belief, but on belonging. That we don't have to check off a bunch of I believe boxes in order to find our place. Yes, the spiritual journey is ours as individuals, but we never travel alone. We walk hand in hand within this collective family we call the church, within this great 2,000-year-old tradition, this great household of faith called Christianity, where there's plenty of room for all of us. It's a big table we've set with chairs for the most seasoned members, to the youngest youth, to the visitor who just found out about us online, to anyone who longs to stretch their spiritual wings, try out new solutions to ancient problems, voice their doubts, and raise the big questions. Like, who is God? What does it mean to be human? How can we make a difference in this world? Questions about science and religion and artistic expression and the human spirit. Questions that make my humanity's loving heart leap with joy. And to borrow from Amy Butler, pastor of Riverside Church in New York, if you can't wrestle with these sorts of questions here in church, then why are we here? This Sunday in particular delves deeply into our tradition. God as triune. Some 18 centuries old at least, and it might even be older, possibly hidden in acorn form in ancient Judaism, centuries before Christianity emerged in history. In his book, De Trinitate, St. Augustine wrote, "Some persons find the Trinity difficult. When they hear that the Father is God, and the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, and yet that this Trinity is not three gods, but one God, they ask, how are they to understand this?" Augustine says it's a mystery that surpasses the power of customary speech. In the medieval period, St. Thomas Aquinas said the Trinity is not three gods, but three persons with three names, tria nomina in Latin. John Calvin, during the Reformation, wrote about God's simple essence, one God, three persons. In the 20th century, Paul Tillich said the Trinity is less a question of theology than a question of physics. Three is not literal, he said. It's symbolic. It tells us about how God relates to God's self, the motion within the Godhead, he called it. And in our day, feminist theologians remind us that Father and Son are male terms. They're androcentric and conceal the feminine images of God used throughout the Bible. God as Mother Hen, for example. But I think Gregory of Nyssa said it best way back in the 4th century when he said the Trinity is like a rainbow. Many inseparable colors, he said. One rainbow. God as rainbow. A great image for many reasons. Yes, this is our tradition, a deep tradition with a chorus of voices with myriad perspectives. And we are its 21st century caretakers, graced with the privilege of updating it in our time and then passing it along to those who come after us. But we're in challenging times, what Diana Butler Bass in her book Christianity After Religion calls a religious bear market. We've just come out of, she says, the horrible decade from 2000 to 2010. It began with 9/11 and the clergy abuse in the Catholic Church and continued with Protestant infighting over sexuality and was decimated by the Great Recession. But Butler Bass and many others believe we're in the midst of a spiritual resurgence. younger people, millennials, are less interested in belief and far more interested in belonging. Butler Bass says, Christianity is moving from being a religion about God to being an experience of God. She tells the following story to illustrate. I was preaching in a small rural Lutheran church. The church was charming and old-fashioned, mostly older people with only a few young families. Their weekly bulletin announced a quilting bee and plans for members to pave the parking lot the next Saturday. A few dozen people gathered for church in a cozy sanctuary where we listened to the Bible being read and sang hymns together. After my sermon, we all shared a potluck lunch. A young woman sat next to me and shared her story of being what I call in the belief gap. She was a student at a nearby university. I love this congregation, she said. The people have become my family. She paused, and her voice dropped to a confessional whisper. But I don't know what to say to my classmates when they ask me what I believe. Whenever I say I believe in Christianity, they look at me as if I'm crazy. Besides, I don't even know if I believe in Christianity or Lutheran doctrine or anything like that. I just experience how to love God and how God loves me through these people by learning how to quilt and sing hymns. I don't know what to call it, but it's less about believing and more about living. Does that still count as being Christian? Of course it does. And it's the perspective of our texts for this morning, all three of which speak not about believing in God, but speak about living as a way of experiencing God. In the gospel reading, Jesus says God's presence is experienced in community. Paul, in the reading from Romans, says God's love can be experienced in the midst of personal struggle. And in the Proverbs reading, wisdom is God's mouthpiece, speaking from a sidewalk and in a marketplace, inviting people to meet God by living well and speaking truth and loving justice, being courageous, and delighting in humanity. These texts don't mention the Trinity or use the precise formula of three in one. They don't talk about God at all. They speak of experiencing the divine, finding the divine in the midst of living, down in the weeds of life, on street corners and in shopping malls, on nature walks, at births and deaths, and during times of illness, by hospital beds when families gather to say goodbye to one of their own, when partners bicker and make up. The divine is experienced in the welter and sheer mass of human interaction and motion, in art and music and mathematics and scientific advancement. The rainbow of human diversity meets the rainbow that is God. A recent video on BuzzFeed illustrates, I think, this divine-human meeting. It's about a World War II veteran named Sid Schaffner, now 92 years old. Schaffner traveled to Israel, where he met Marcel Levy, age 90. Schaffner was in the U.S. Army, and his unit, the 42nd Infantry, liberated the Dachau concentration camp, setting free some 30,000 Jews. Levy was among them. The two men became friends 71 years ago and were reunited on May 10th. Surrounded by applauding family and friends, Schaffner in a wheelchair and Levy supported by a walking cane, the two embraced. Levy kissed Schaffner on the cheek. They met each other's children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. They exchanged photographs of the liberation. And through tears, Levy held Schaffner's chin and said, "In my eyes, you look wonderful. Everything I have today, all my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, all of it is because of you." And there it is. Discovering God not by reading words on a page written by an Augustine or an Aquinas or a Calvin or a Gregory of Nyssa, but rather encountering God in the emotion and interaction of human relationship, in the diversity of life. God as Trinity is a way of saying God as relationship, God as community, loving when we love, evolving as we change, grieving when we suffer, blessing when we're thankful, celebrating when we're happy. This is a way, I think, to update the Trinity for our time. It means God is discovered in relationship, because God is relationship. Amen.